you say you were fired. There doesn't seem to be gray issue with the University of Illinois. If I could just read something, it says here that you accepted an offer that came with the written stipulation that the job was subject to final approval by the Board of Trustees. So he, meaning you, was never officially hired and thus was never an employee of the University of Illinois. And I'm wondering if that statement comes from the university, doesn't it in a way make this whole issue moot because you were not, in fact, an employee?
Right. But I was contractually and legally speaking, an employee. I had both feet in the university already. I'd been assigned classes. I'd ordered textbooks for those classes. I'd been invited by Chancellor Wise herself to a new faculty reception. I had been in the system, and there's been, in these sorts of hiring practices, a longstanding reasonable assumption that the board provides a rubber stamp to faculty hiring, which is made at the level of the department and the college. If you look at the history of the U of I Board of Trustees, you'll see that they approve hundreds and hundreds of faculty recommendations every year. I'm the only one that they haven't approved. And the other thing to remember is that the Board of Trustees wasn't set to approve my hire until well after my contract would have begun.
So this is more about the process, and there have been people, I think, on both sides about the way the University of Illinois handles the appointment process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there are lots of questions. There are lots of questions still to be worked out around that issue.
And you did sign a letter that states your appointment was subject to board approval.
Yes, but I also signed a contract welcoming me as a new faculty member, which led me to resign an extant tenured faculty position at Virginia Tech.
I want to get to the issue of the tweets. There are some that say the issue of free speech was getting blurred with hate speech. And do you think your opinions on Gaza were considered hate speech?
No, absolutely. I mean, they might be considered hate speech by some, but I don't think any objective or even reasonable observer who reads the entirety of my Twitter feed could possibly come to that sort of conclusion.
Well, do you think that sometimes that issue of free speech can be obscured when it is defending that some people say can be hateful? And for example, let's take, you know, Westboro Baptist Church.
Okay. Well, the Supreme Court has consistently upheld the right of Westboro Baptist Church to picket in public, even at service members' funerals, mm-hmm. right? And so it's an interesting thought experiment, but I tend to shy away from that sort of comparison because I don't like the context of my situation being put in terms of the question of should hate speech be protected, because I never engaged in any sort of hate speech.
You know, this issue came to the forefront because of what was happening and because you were going to be appointed as a tenured professor. One of the questions I kept asking myself was, what was it like, I guess, for you and students when you were teaching at Virginia Tech? Because one of the things that President Robert Easter had said was that he had come to the conclusion that Professor Salida's approach indicates that he would be incapable of fostering a classroom environment where conflicting opinions could be given equal consideration regardless of the issue being discussed. And it led me to wonder, okay, so if that's what Mr. Easter believes, what was it like for you, and we don't have any students of yours sitting here, but how did you handle your personal opinions on this issue and the classroom situation?
So, I was, without trying to sound conceited, I was an extremely popular instructor at Virginia Tech. I turned in with my application for the process at the University of Illinois, a lengthy dossier that showed outstanding student evaluations, that showed outstanding peer evaluations of my teacher, mm-hmm. my colleagues sitting in classes and sort of observing and writing up a report. I've never had any formal complaint of negative pedagogy in my entire career of teaching college classes. And I would say that if we look at one of the purposes of the university, it's to come to conclusions based on available evidence. And I would say that President Easter has zero evidence that I've engaged in any negative practices in my classroom. So for him to come to that conclusion, to me, contravenes one of the central purposes of the university, which is learning to make conclusions based on evidence rather than just pulling them out of a hat.
When it comes to your classroom style, was it more lecture-based? Was it more interactive that allowed students to sort of, you know, espouse their own ideas, their own views, if they conflicted with yours?
No, freewheeling, very discussion-based. I loved it when my students disagreed with me and disagreed with other students. It was always a respectful environment. The students really appreciated the ability to speak. And any student can tell you, the disclaimer I give on the first day of class in every single class I teach is that you are free to your viewpoint. You are free to express your viewpoint. We respect one another, right? And we don't cross lines of homophobia and racism and anti-Semitism. But what I'm interested in is teaching you the process of learning to provide evidence for whatever claims you make and learning to think coherently about your positions.
With about the minute that we have left, Stephen Salida, if you could pick one lesson to be taken away from this experience, what would that be?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about it in terms of just one lesson. But if I had to say anything, I would say that the lesson is sometimes telling your truth can land you in trouble, but that doesn't invalidate what led you to act in the first place.
Stephen Salida, a professor, used to be a professor at Virginia Tech. He was supposed to take a tenured position at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. That did not happen because of tweets that he had made over the summer regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Stephen Salida, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your thoughts on this.
My pleasure. Thank you.